this is Billy Sims. When I want to spice up my barbecue, I always listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions broadcast show.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who have never dropped a Matthew Stafford pass, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 202. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How you doing, my man?
Well, I'm feeling the holiday of my people a little bit, Chris, but I'm doing pretty good.
Better than feeling your people. In today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about our big thing for St. Jude and your chance to give and help out sick kids. We're also going to talk about some new Lions on the team. We're going to ask you, who is the second cornerback on this team? We've got Tony Ortiz joining us. He's a Lions sideline reporter. He also does the news desk for WWJ 971. It's his first breakthrough on the show. Treat him gently, and I think he'll treat you just fine. We got that and a whole lot more. It's a great show. Case, you ready to go, my man?
My charms got pretty lucky, too.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements first. Check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
That's right, and we got a shirt for that. Of course, our very first donor, Mathis, and Brian B. from I Prevail. They got a sweet new album. Case, have you heard Paranoid? The song, I've been tweeting it a little bit.
Yeah, I've been hearing it.
Ooh, that is a great song. Check their stuff out. It's on YouTube. And check them out, iprevailband.com. They're big donors. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. You can join the crew. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Brian, lead singer from I Prevail. Riz, whole bunch of other people all hanging out, talking Lions in the most intelligent chat you'll ever find. On our Slack chat, and you get that for as little as a dollar a month. Also, we have a pre-show show that we put together every now and again, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Be a member, and also don't forget, throughout the month of March and the month of April, every dollar we collect to Patreon goes to St. Jude. That's really going to feel good for you to do that. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and check us out on Twitter. At DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast, it's the very best place to see Case.
With a green face.
Ooh, okay. Subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Don't forget, that's the only place you're going to see the live stream of our draft party. Getting ready for that, the Detroit Lions Podcast live draft party. During the draft, you can head on over to YouTube on our channel and see us cover every pick on the first day live. YouTube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Go there, subscribe, hit the bell so you're notified, and you'll see it as it happens. Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. A lot of you guys are going to Spotify now. Spotify's a great place to check it out. Wherever you go, let them know what you think of the show if it's a five-star review. We love those five-star reviews. You folks have been giving them out. A little juicier lately, Case. They've been really, really friendly with those. If you have an issue or you want something changed in the show, let us know in the subreddit. That's where we focus on those kinds of things. Otherwise, five-star reviews on any podcast aggregator you go to find us. Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. Leave a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And holy moly, we got a new hire, Tommy Lee Lewis coming in. Former beau of Pamela Anderson. We've seen him out there honking boat horns with the big wiener. Case, this is something. I didn't think that a guy of that age would be able to come out of the music industry and play some football, but looks like the Lions think so, huh?
It's pretty impressive, Chris.
The bullshit I made up, or
right. Well, either way you want to look at it. For those who remember, obviously, Tommy Lee Lewis's claim to fame was the no call when he caught the pass for the Saints last year in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That was him. He was Kenny Galladay's roommate, apparently. Somebody will have to fact check that for me, but because we needed another, you know, roommate storyline on the team.
I can fact check that he wasn't my roommate. Does that help?
That does narrow it down.
Thank you.
They signed him as and it's literally like right before we started recording this. So I'll have to come back with a little bit further thought on it in a later week. But slot receiver, 5'7", has occasionally played on the outside. So, I mean, that is, you know, part of his repertoire. Spent most of last season on IR after a knee injury, but came back and did a few things. I mean, we're not talking about a guy. He was a UDFA 3 years ago. And he'd been with the Saints that whole time and not massive production. But while I don't think it's likely that it would change the team's plans in terms of trying to plan for the future of the position, because I don't think Powell, I don't think Tommy Lee Lewis, I don't think Danny Amendola, I don't think any of those guys are the long-term answer to that position. It does provide more depth to that area. And so as long as they still, you know, are able to go out and find somebody in the draft or yet in free agency, even although things are getting a little scarce there, who could provide a longer term, then it won't be a major issue. And if they have to live this year with that as what they've got, then that can be one of the major things they go after next year.
Interesting. Yeah. I think they're going to go for wide receiver. I don't think that's a question. Is this the guy? He isn't drawing the calls that he should be. He needs to work on his acting a little bit, I think, maybe. But he seems like a guy that can catch the ball, but just hasn't had the reliability they want. It's an interesting signing at a position of need. Other than the whole Pamela Anderson connection, do you think he's a camp body and nothing more, or do you think he's going to hang around?
Oh, I think he'll have a legitimate shot to make the team. He has made the team for the Saints the last 3 years. I think there's a very good shot for him to make the team. I would be a little surprised if he pushed Danny Amendola for starting time. And I think whether or not he becomes, you know, a healthy scratch type of player on the roster, it will be determined by whether or not they take a guy in the draft who's able to, you know, push.
Let me take a different angle. As a healthy scratch, is he a quality player that you're putting aside ahead of Amendola, or is he just really covering an old guy's kind of injury? Well, maybe. Right. I mean, you let me put it in this context. You always want to raise the bar. You want better players. And look, if you have better players sitting on the bench than you used to, that's an upgrade, I guess.
At his age yet, I mean, there is plenty of upside there. So there is plenty of upside that he could be, you know, a better player in the, you know, in the second section of his career than he was in the first. He also may not have just had the opportunities. And like I said, I'll try to look more into him over the next couple of weeks and come back with something a little more substantial. But from the way it looks, he may just not have had the opportunities to do more. He also has experience as a return man, which is mm-hmm. something, you know, that's always a wrinkle to add into that situation. So does he, if he's a special teams guy, you know, that's how a lot of guys make the roster.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Do you have any ringers in mind for return guy right now?
Boy,
it's been pretty slim pickings, right?
I do not know the answer to that yet. That I feel like that's going to be something we'll hopefully get some clue as to early in the off season once practices start.
Okay, cool. All right, we'll move on. I'm gonna throw a curveball at you, Case. It's something we haven't talked about ahead of the show or anything, or didn't do any thinking about. Okay, I want to talk about Matthew Stafford. Okay, I've got some breaking news. It was something we were talking about earlier, my wife and I. Matthew Stafford has how many years left in his contract, Case?
I want to say it's 2022.
Yeah. Okay. So think about this. And people are talking about when would he be traded? When would he be gone? Where would he go? I want to throw a wrinkle into this that nobody is talking about, okay? Because let's face it, he's made for money, right? He doesn't need a bunch of money. At the end of this contract, if he isn't on a winning team, if he's not on a, and I'll just use the Patriots analogy, if he's not on a Patriots kind of team at that point, right? The idea of him bringing some team to Super Bowl relevance in the twilight years of his career is probably not there, right? We have to say within this contract, he has to kind of be right in there, right?
Right.
Would you agree? Okay. So now, if I think about this, okay, let me put you into a mindset of Matthew Stafford, who seems to be a pretty good family man, right? Would you agree? Off season, you see him with the family.
It certainly
the
seems
kids,
like
kids. Absolutely. Okay. So I'm going to do a little math here. His kids were born in March of 2017, the twins. Okay. That means in March of 2022, they turned 5 years old. Okay. As a parent, and there's other parents out there, that's kindergarten time. Right. You want to be stable in a location that you're going to stay for the long haul by the time your kids are in kindergarten. Okay, you don't want to pop them out, go to another school, this and that, and whatever. Now, in this off season, I have some really, really good, an amazing research crew on this podcast. Mainly my wife, who follows Kelly on Instagram, who they've spent this entire off season in California, and I and my wife made the point we were talking about this. This is where all this came from. The concept is they probably moved there, bought a house there, because they seem to be living there this whole off season. Okay. So I think, and where my wife used to teach school, there was a lot of people that you all would probably know the name of, that went there. And as we left, a whole ton of Rams, kids went there. That's the place. If you're relatively famous, have a decent amount of money, you put your kids in and they don't stand out special, right, when they go to school. I'm thinking, not that he's going to the Rams, but that Matthew Stafford's thinking about that kind of end of career progression happens at the same time that his kids go to kindergarten. That whole thing all comes together at the same point in time, right? And I'm thinking that 2022 piece might be where we see the end of Matthew Stafford as a Lions quarterback. What do you, I mean, and you can shoot me down, right? You can say whatever you want, because he could spend a year or two with mom at home. But this is an angle no one's covered yet. What's your thoughts on that case?
Well, I don't have kids, so I can't speak to that side of it beyond, you know, speculation.
But you would care about kids if you had them, right?
It seems to me like there's this overwhelming sense in the Lions fan base right now that Stafford is gone sooner rather than later, one way or another. Mm-hmm. I have definitely not bought into that. I think that there is an extremely high probability that this year will be a bounce back year for him statistically.
I agree 100%. I think last year was his low year. It was an anomaly other than the injury years.
Right.
And I think he's going to be a very, very good quarterback in the meantime.
Right. I think that means that there's almost zero chance of him being traded unless that does happen. And I'm not saying that's impossible, that it could happen.
Sure.
And that the team could decide to make a move next year and deal with, you know, the consequences therein. I don't think that's likely. I think when a player stays with a team for as long as he has, it's more likely that if he's going to continue his career, it will be in Detroit. You know, you build a life somewhere.
Right.
And that's my perspective.
But he hasn't, right? He has a place here, but in the off seasons previously, he spent them all in Atlanta. Matt Ryan obviously playing basketball last year. This year has been very significant time in California. He's building a life that doesn't seem like it's in Detroit. And I don't want to put this out here as like he doesn't care about Detroit, he doesn't love the team, he's not committed. No. That's not at all what I'm saying, right? But what I'm trying to do is kind of take a step back and put myself a little bit more into Matthew Stafford's head and the things that matter in his life. And if you put yourself in your head, like I did a poll People were complaining about players and where their priorities were. And I did a poll, and 89% of the people was, I want the money first, right? So it's like, shut up when players sign somewhere else. Obviously, they're going for the money just like you would, right? Okay, so that's that. But if I put my head in Matthew Stafford's head, it's not just where am I going to make the money, because he's going to make money anywhere, and he's making a lot of money now, so he probably could take less money to go to a place that's more favorable for his living condition. Second tier is now about what is it like to live there, right? Right now, he had a bad year. It's probably not a great place to live in Detroit. He's not signing right now, so that's okay, right? But where are my kids? Where's my family? Where's my long-term future? What am I investing in for life after football? In 2022, if I'm Matthew Stafford, what am I looking at, right? And he could do a year or two away as a quarterback somewhere, but I'm just kind of trying to put myself in his head. And when you get to the end of this contract, where he's at in his career, where he's at with his family, and it's just an angle that no one's really talked about or maybe analyzed or thought about, because I'll tell you straight up, that family, I mean, when you were married, Case, right? 50-50. Right, you didn't just make the decisions on what you wanted to do, and you weren't able to just.
I seldom made the decisions on what I wanted to do.
Good point. But that being said, right, you roll the dice into a family, and that puts a whole different cast on what you're talking about, especially after you've gotten the big contract done. So I'm not saying he's leaving. I'm not saying he's going to be out of here. But boy, that having your kids have a good life, good school, all those things. I mean, I went out, and this is something people have actually asked about this in our survey we did. So I want to save a little bit of, or share a little bit of inside Chris info. Not inside Chris, but inside info about Chris. When I lived in California, we started a school. We started a charter school, and it wound up being, of 131 schools, the ninth best in the county when I left as president of the board of the school board there. Great thing. We did amazing things. 300 and some kids went there. School was super, 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 super important to me, and it was something that I focused on to make sure that my son had the best opportunity. I'm not saying that he's going to go out and start a school or anything like that, but I'm just going to say that there's a focus in your life, and everything you see about Matthew Stafford in the off season is it's about the family. During the season, it's all about football, but those decisions weigh. And I don't know. Like I said, I surprised you with a topic. I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to jump you with that.
That's okay. I think, talk to me in 2022 about how successful the team has been over the last few years. Yep. Because if they haven't been, I mean, then you ask two questions. You know, what is his value to other teams versus his value to the Lions? Because if his value to other teams has gone significantly down by that point, that, you know, could mean
he still may take it as a quality of life adjustment.
Right. I get that.
Because if it's gone down to other teams, it's gone down to the Lions too.
Right. I get that. But if he is having success and there is a legitimate feeling of, you know, let's make this happen or let's make this happen again, you know, cross your fingers, then that has to play a major impact. So that's, you know, to me, that doesn't mean that he will resign or anything, but it really, to me, the number one factor in my mind as to whether or not he'll be around after this contract is where the team is at.
Okay. There's any point in time, though, and family will make you do it, because God, it does, but he just may say,
so it's all good.
And there you go. So he may do that. I would, but that's me, right? All right, so let's talk about really quick the auction is going to. It was going to kick off today, but waiting for a couple of items to come in. We want to kick off with a good number of the right kind of items, and we have this auction for St. Jude. It's going to be an online auction at DetroitLionsPodcast.com. You'll be able to go there and see some really killer items. Big thanks to Eamon Reynolds from the Detroit Lions themselves. The organization is donating an autographed football you're going to be able to bid on. Dean Blandino's putting some stuff together. We've got all kinds of other stuff coming together. Check that out soon. But St. Jude, it is a charity anybody can get behind. Nobody says Fist to the Sky, St. Jude, right? It's a great place to help families and kids in need at the most time they need it the most. And we're doing a fundraiser thanks to Matt Patricia's great generosity, to Steve Mariucci's challenge as a result of Rich Eisen doing his Run Rich Run thing. So head on over to Detroit Lions Podcast. We have a couple ways you can take part. You can donate direct, and we love that. Send it through the Patreon. You can do a 2-month donation, so you can break it out over 2 months. We have the PayPal set up. You can do a direct donation. You want to give cash straight to St. Jude's, go send them out. We'll put it in. It'll all be part of the check. Or if you're like, I kind of want to get something out of it. Well, there's a way to do it by doing something you're going to do anyway. We got some great merchandise there. We have all kinds of awesome t-shirts put together by Punk Rockin' Trev, the superstar on the Detroit Lions subreddit. He's got some great designs. People are eating those up. A dollar from every t-shirt is going to go to St. Jude's as well. So you can do it that way or the auction. All this money's going there. I started out with a $500 match. Check this out, Case. And then Sandman said, you know what? I'm going to toss in $500 on top of that. So after you get $500 of donations, I'm going to match the next $500. And then AJ, one of our listeners and great friends, he said, you know what? On top of that, I'm going to add another $500. So we've had $1,500 in matching funds. We've crushed it. All those funds are gone. We're over $3,000 in donations in the first week for St. Jude. You folks are awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you. I mean, I can hear the kids screaming your names now with in a nice way. It's great to get those donations, and thank you everybody for all you do. Again, get some merchandise, get those shirts. It's the shirts. We're going to be rolling out some new merchandise. I hate to say the margin's so low. We had the merchandise coming anyway. We just decided to give a dollar from every shirt. So if you want to do it for St. Jude, do the shirts. If you want to donate direct, again, Patreon gives you 2 months to donate. And so you can do a larger amount over time, or you want to do a one-time donation, do a Patreon. And then the auction, I think it's going to start later this week, right around probably the 22nd or 23rd. Again, we don't want to start the auction until the items are in hand. I trust the Detroit Lions. I trust Eamon, right? But I just want it in hand. I want the picture. I want the whole thing set up so it's absolutely perfect for you folks. The auction will go through noon on the day of the draft, April 25th. So it's a long auction. You get a lot of time to bid on this stuff. And we're going to be adding stuff as time goes on. And you'll see some cool stuff popping up. But head on over, check it out. And on the live stream, on the live draft show that we do, the draft party, as it were, we will announce the auction winners. So get ready for a lot of fun. Tony's joining us, Tony Ortiz. You'll hear from him later. He's joining us on draft day. Justin Rogers, Jeff Risden, Dean Ladino, maybe even Dan Orlovsky, all the friends of the show that we've built over the years. We're going to have them weigh in. It's going to be a great day. But all those folks have pointed you to head towards the auction, DetroitLionsPodcast.com, the merchandise, DetroitLionsPodcast.com, the direct donation, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. It all goes to St. Jude, which is the best damn charity out there. So the other thing that I want to talk about before I stop is amplify it. Every social media contact you have should know at least 3 times about this. So let people know to go to the website and donate to St. Jude. It's an important, important charity. So help us out here, okay? All right, let's move on. Trade scenarios for the Lions in the draft. Miami. It seems to be the one pick, right? We talked about Washington a little bit, but they made some signings. It really seems like the focus for the Lions right now to trade down is Miami, because they want a quarterback, right? They need a quarterback. They've kind of blasted their stuff out, got rid of what's his name? Something. Anyway, so they need a quarterback, right? If I'm Miami, Case, at number 8, I'm getting really, really horny for the Lions spot, right? I want Kyler Murray, and he's going to be there, isn't he?
Probably not.
What? God, you fucked it all. Oh, man, we had this all laid out. What are you talking about? He's not going to be there.
Probably, but I mean, this all gets really complicated because you don't know what's smoke and mirrors, although I don't really trust the Cardinals to, you know, have a really good handle on
they want to do, much less smoke or mirrors.
Right, exactly. At the moment. But it does sound like the Cardinals want to take Kyler Murray number 1 overall and probably try to trade Josh Rosen to somebody else. And the guess would be that Josh Rosen would be picking up maybe like a second round pick So wouldn't affect, you know, the other quarterbacks in this draft so much. Other than if it was Miami that decided to trade for Josh Rosen, although there certainly hasn't been a serious, you know, connection there to this point.
Let me ask really quick. So Josh Rosen, he was a first round pick, right? Did he go in
yes.
the first round? Yeah. Okay. So he's fermented for a year. If you're going to trade for Josh Rosen and you're Miami, what do you give up for him?
Second, I don't. Third?
Well, no,
I
no,
don't.
What do you think his value is? Okay, I agree with you. But what do you think his
probably
value
a second round pick.
Okay.
Probably.
Okay, so he's fermented around over the course of a year.
Right. Okay. Well, then, and that's just my guess. I like this is such speculative territory right now, and I've heard so many different people say so many different things that all I can do is make a wild prediction. My guess would be that our chance at getting Miami to trade up with us would be that they don't want Rosen, that they want Dwayne Haskins, that the Giants don't take Dwayne Haskins with the number 6 pick, and that the Broncos are, you know, tempting them at 10.
That's bullshit, Haskins.
And that we just, you know, either match or beat the Bills off.
That's bullshit.
Wait, you had an R at the end. That wasn't just beat the Bills off. It was beat the Bills offer, right?
Offer.
Okay, offer. Got it. That bullshit guy cut you off. Okay. All right. So Arizona takes Kyler Murray. Josh Rosen's available. There's probably no trade.
I feel like we've suddenly delved pretty far into the hot take territory here, but
things stink. So let's back out of that then and say in this trade scenario, because everyone's like, I just want to trade down. I'm going to trade down. If I'm Bob Quinn, I'm trading down. You kind of need another team that wants to move up, don't you?
And maybe if Josh Allen's available and they decide that he's not the guy they want, although I kind of, you know, personally, I think they would want him. If somebody else decides that they really, really want Josh Allen, maybe that's the way to go. Maybe that makes even more sense than looking at it from a quarterback perspective. So I don't know.
Do you think anyone's really hot on TJ Hockenson?
I think the Packers would like him at 12, but I don't know that the Packers would trade up with us at 8 to take him.
Especially
although,
us.
Hey, maybe.
Especially
maybe
us.
They're so desperate for it, they would.
If it was any other team but an NFC North team, they would do it. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
So let's be honest. The Lions need another team who wants to move up, right? That's what it is. And if we are the instigators to move down, that situation blows. We're gonna lose value. You know, the idea is, someone wants to trade up and maybe we can get a lot of picks. You're gonna get shit picks because you're the one that wants to move down. You're the one who has the need, right? You're no longer the negotiation sucks if you're the Lions and you want to move down and no one wants to move up, right?
So then, of course, you just have to weigh the value against the, you know, the players that you think are available there versus the players that would be available at the, you know, the picks you're able to pick up, and
You need a master's in economics.
I will trust Bob Quinn enough in this situation.
Say it again.
I will trust Bob Quinn enough in this situation to not totally butcher that decision.
Well, we do have a trust in Quinn shirt, and Case might be wearing it after this draft.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, so there it is. I mean, we wanted to talk about the whole, hey, just trade down kind of stuff. There's more to it than that, and there's an exchange of values between teams and who's the instigator, who wants to trade. The first thing, that when you call somebody else saying you want to trade, you've already given up value, right? That's the bottom line. So that's the negotiation, and you want to be a good negotiator, so don't go messing that up. There's your trade scenarios. All right, really quick, don't forget if they're available. There's all kinds of good stuff available. You need a Trey Flowers jersey. You need a Justin Coleman jersey. You need Jesse James, Danny Amendola. They're all available. They're all available right now. And you can be one of the first people on those trains by heading over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. And you would scroll down a little bit further because the St. Jude stuff is there. And click on the Fanatics link and get those sweet-ass new jerseys. And you can style the stuff. You can roll around town like, I knew it all along. People don't know these jerseys are out. You could be like the hipster influencer Instagram person before anybody else did the hipster Instagram influencer thing already, right? DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on the Fanatics link. Go get yourself a killer new jersey from the. I'm thinking Trey Flowers is a good one. That's a long contract. You're gonna get a couple of good years out of that, and when it's all said and done, you could probably frame that thing if you go to a game and get it signed. DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Go ahead and pick up your Lions stuff by clicking on Fanatics there, and help us out by doing something you were going to do anyway. All right, let's talk about some key NFL dates coming up. March 24th through the 27th, the annual league meeting. Of course, we got Dean Blandino, our on-site reporter, with all the details. He'll hit us before and after the meeting with all the important stuff going on there. April 15th, the Lions, since they don't have a new coach, they're going to be able to begin workouts then. And of course, the draft on the 25th of April with our annual, what is it, Case?
Draft party.
Damn straight. A lot of good guests, a lot of great stuff going on, and maybe even a little drinking. Some stuff going on there, so you want to check that out. And we've got some amazing stuff coming up for the Lions on, it's either the 3rd through the 5th of May or the 10th through the 13th of May. That's when the 3-day rookie minicamp begins, and it's one of those two weekends, so we'll see where that plays out for the Lions. Some good news coming out there. Key dates coming up right now. Don't forget about that. And, well, gosh, there's all kinds of other stuff going on. We're talking about St. Jude, which is a big thing. Make sure you sign up and help out with that. Key NFL dates. We've got some new people coming in. One of the things we need is another cornerback. At least that's what everyone says, a cornerback too. I mean, Slay's doing pretty good, but Case, what do you think, man? This is something where we're in need. I like Justin Coleman. He looks good out there, but he's kind of a slot guy. What are we going to do in that cornerback two position?
I feel like one of my catchphrases for the show should be take vets at cornerback in free agency.
Take what?
Because they say it over and over and over and over again. Unfortunately, as I think everybody knows, this year wasn't a great year for vet cornerbacks. I do think the Justin Coleman signing was a great one.
Probably the best possible, right?
What's that?
Probably the best possible.
Well, maybe for given what our need was at the slot, and assuming that's where he fills in, then yeah, absolutely. For what he brings and how much he improves the team, I definitely think so. But there aren't a lot of guys left out there in free agency that are wildly thrilling. But there are definitely a couple of guys that could be brought in, especially with the amount of money that we still have left over. And upgrade the position, maybe if only slightly, and you know, provide a veteran leadership position there. Maurice Claiborne and Darqueze Dennard, maybe the top two in that area. Neither of them is like a world-beating cornerback, but if they went that direction in free agency yet, as this second wave of free agency, you know, slowly starts to trickle in, then, I mean, it would still leave them open to taking a guy like Jawan Williams. Apologies that I have no idea how to pronounce that. Jawan? I'll get there, guys. But if they wanted to look at a guy like that in the third round or something like that, there are a handful of guys in the draft that could be second, third round, fourth round picks that they could definitely bring in in the hopes of them taking over next year or the year after.
Interesting. Couple names out there. Mo Claiborne. He's a guy I've always liked. What do you think about Mo?
Well, I like him just fine. He's just not like... He's probably starter quality, but he's not going to excite people in Detroit. And I feel like Detroit Lions fans have a little bit higher expectations of what people should be expecting out of the cornerback two position than what most cornerback twos produce. We had probably a very average cornerback two in Nevin Lawson, and he didn't have his best year this last year. I'm not going to try to pretend that he did. And I'd say it was a below average year for him. He also wasn't getting a great deal of help from the front seven for a good chunk of the year. Obviously the ball skill issue is, you know, that's an issue. And both of those guys have more career interceptions than Nevin Lawson has. So that's a, you know, that's a factor. But I just don't think, that it's going to be easy to please Lions fans this year with the cornerback two position, unless the front seven is taking so much pressure off that whoever's there looks way better. And of course, you know, Mike Ford is out there, and we still hope that Mike Ford continues to develop, and you know, maybe we'll get lucky and this is the year that he starts to blossom, and then we have a long-term solution.
Can I maybe throw something out there? Maybe this defense double teams everyone who's against the CB2, whoever that is, right? Maybe it's a case.
I was going to say, like, everyone? Are we going to field, like, 16, 17 guys on every play?
No. But you look at the front seven, and you look at the rush that it looks like we're going to have this year, right? And you have a pretty damn solid secondary overall. It really is that second cornerback position that is the biggest gaping hole, right? So what do? Throw another man at it. Put a safety on him and give him safety cover all the time. Everyone says, oh, all I did was throw at the second cornerback all the time. Okay, we can scheme against that. Very relatively easy. You're not going to walk a ball down the field running the same play every time. And the rest of this defense looks pretty freaking tight. If that's your one gap, you can probably scheme around filling that. Don't you think, Case?
Probably. And just to go back to the name, I do think Claiborne would be my favorite move. Of maybe the entire rest of the free agency pool if they picked him up. Because I do think that he'd be a serviceable to average to above average cornerback too. And
he'd be great for that second position.
A slight upgrade. And I do think having that veteran leadership in the secondary is an important thing, especially now that we're losing Quinn. So
yeah. And he doesn't challenge Slay in the way that everyone says the ego challenge happens, right? I mean, this winds up being a pretty decent fit. What about here's a guy we've talked about. I loved him in the draft. I was glad that we didn't take him afterwards, but what about Darqueze Dennard? He's a guy that is he a guy, I guess there's two questions. Can Patricia fix him in the CB2 position, and do we want him?
He's
right, an anomaly.
Yeah, and he's had injury issues, and the Bengals have been a little bit of a dysfunctional organization. He's young. At 27, he's still a guy who hasn't necessarily seen his peak at the cornerback position. And most positions, I'd say he was past his peak at 27. A lot of guys, I feel like, in terms of their savvy for the position at the cornerback position, don't peak until a little bit later. He isn't the tallest guy at 5'11", and I think that I feel like that's the wave of the future with cornerbacks, is that they keep getting taller and taller on the outside anyway. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's not the ideal fit. And to be perfectly honest with you, I'm not sure that he goes exactly with what Patricia wants to run on defense. But I mean, at the same time, if we're talking about a guy that they want to bring in on a 2, maybe 3 year contract, I'm not going to complain that hard about Darqueze Dennard. Now, before free agency kicked off, and I was just looking at names out there, he stuck out to me because I remembered him in the draft process, and I liked a lot about him, and I was very glad that we didn't draft him. But at the same time, there were things to like, and I intermittently have followed his career with the Bengals, although it has certainly been up and down. Sure. So trying to rely on him for 16 games to be a starter and be really good there, that's not going to be the best, most ideal situation. But we may not get the best, most ideal situation this year. So,
well, look at you, Mr. Positive. No, I don't disagree. So what about addressing the situation in the draft? We're not going to have a guy this year, right? I mean, we just, anytime you get a cornerback in the draft, even at number one, I mean, and I'm not talking about number one overall, but even a first round cornerback, you hope he plays, but gosh, he is not going to be effective till year two or three. Year three is when they really start to hit their stride, right?
No, and I do completely agree with that. I think that, you know, there's a very high chance that they do pick up somebody in the second, third, or fourth round. Like I mentioned, here's another one. Okay. Aruwariyai. That was really bad.
This is great.
I'm not that far off. I don't think I'm that far off, but I'm definitely not quite on with that either. Out of Penn State would be a decent second round pick. Rock Yassin's got some, you know, looks in the second round. As I mentioned, Joe Juwan Williams, however it's said, in the third would be an option. There's, you know, we're probably not going to see Greedy Williams, Brian Murphy, or DeAndre Baker to us. And those are the top three guys. I'm just basing that off everything we've heard, you know, so far from the Riz and just everything that just does not seem like cornerback is on the Lions' radar in the first round, but that there are other guys in this draft who they like.
Did you see my Rock Ya-Sin footage that I put in the Slack from Senior Bowl?
I don't. Oh, yes, I did. But boy, that was a while ago. So
No. I put 6 new videos up in the Slack just yesterday. So check them out. Interesting. And as I re-review Rock, he is definitely got some work to do. Love his mouth, love his jaw. He's always making noise out there, and that's awesome. But there's a couple times on run plays, he got so caught up watching the receiver that the play, he never got a shot to turn and make a play on the run. And a couple times he got burnt in coverage. Like the guy a lot, like his spirit, but have to, and he is in the top, I'd say 15% of guys in body composition as far as muscularity and so on, based on the notes I had from his the elephant walk at the Senior Bowl. But he didn't quite, look, it's a tough position, right? But he was playing catch up a lot at that position. So there's a lot of talk about Rock Ya-Sin. He definitely needs some work. So if we draft him or a guy like him, just don't expect him to play the first year. And if he does, don't expect him to be effective straight 100%.
Well, all three guys I just mentioned there are over 6 foot. Mm-hmm. And I do think that that's a likelihood in terms of what they've looking.
5'11.6, by the way.
Rock Ya-Sin?
Yeah.
6'2".
Not by the measurements I have.
By the ones I do, he is.
There we go. Yes, and right here, 5'11.6. Yep, 109 pounds.
I am seeing 6'2 right here.
This is what he measured at the Senior Bowl. I'm just telling you how tall he was. He wasn't wearing his heels.
All right. Anyway, my guess is, and that may, you know, make him a lesser, you know, prospect for the Lions. My guess is, and it's just a guess, that what they'll be looking for is another guy in the mold of Tease Tabor, but with a little more speed than Tease Tabor.
None of them are going to be a day one starter. I just don't think that from the draft you're going to get a day one starter, period. All right, so with that last little read here quick, Case, I don't know if you've been down in South America before with the tall women who tell you what to do. I know it's a dream of yours, but there's another place like that, and that's called Amazon. You go and you buy everything that isn't your Lions gear and isn't a donation to St. Jude. So come do your donations. But head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on the Amazon link. You'll head straight to Amazon. No pop-ups or funny stuff. You can buy all the stuff in your life that you're going to buy that isn't Lions gear. And you can do it there. And they'll give us a kickback. And they'll say, God, Case and Kiss are so great. Chris and Case are so cool. Woo! We're going to give them a little bit of kickback. It's a great way to help out the show by doing something you were going to do anyway. You don't even have to think twice other than go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Amazon link. And with that, it is now time for Case to take us around the division!
Oh, yeah. Oh! Woo!
Let's settle down
in here.
Wow, that was good.
All right, okay, so we will start at the bottom this week again after reversing it a little bit last week with the Packers. And we talked last week with Riz about some of the signings they made and how they made some, you know, quality signings. They much like the Lions, paid market value for the guys they got. So they weren't necessarily getting steals, but they picked up some valuable players. And that's, you know, that is something for us to be concerned about, especially for their defense. That said, and this is exactly why I stopped trying to read too much into cap space, because it's so tricky. And originally, we thought that after what they had, they still had a $15 million available. I don't remember the exact number. 13, somewhere between 13 and 15.
You know, when you said it's tricky, I wanted to roll out the Run DMC, right?
I love that song. Okay. Anyway, you should see me do it at karaoke with my buddy Bill. Oh, anyway.
We will see that in the next couple weeks, maybe at the draft show, but go on.
Anyway, then a report came out that they had less than 5 million. Maybe as low as 3.5 to 4. After what was reported, so what was reported by the media came off, and this may have just been a headline issue, that the Packers screwed up their accounting, and that was what the headline seemed to imply.
Aaron can't add. The Packers, Aaron can't add. Sorry, Aaron, sit down. I'll do the math.
Now, A, the Packers didn't screw up their accounting. They always knew how much money they had.
That wasn't Aaron.
The reporters who tried to figure out how much money they had screwed up. So, what? Nice work, reporters.
Wait, Aaron is a better math doer than the reporters.
I don't think he's involved in this, but
he's running the show over there. You know that. He's real GM is Aaron Rodgers.
So now today, when I see, you know, unfortunately, I get excited that, you know, the Packers had like next to no cap space left and we're going to have to make cuts just in order to sign rookies. It sounds like they actually have enough space that they don't have to worry about it. They're not going to, the benefit is that they're done. I mean, they're done. Like anything else they sign is going to be vet min contracts for, you know, pure depth / camp body guys. So, I mean, they're not making any more major signings unless they do have something, you know, some major cuts or some major restructuring or anything like that, which don't, you know, rule out ever, because obviously that kind of thing does happen. But anyway, the benefit is that they are tight, very tight against the cap. So we're not going to see them doing anything else of significance. Whereas the Lions do still have room to do a few things of significance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely. There's some real significance available in the Lions cap world.
Yes. So that is where we are at with the Packers. And like I said, I stopped trying to figure out cap space a couple of years ago because it never makes as much sense as it should.
No, it's a social construct.
I mean, it's not that I don't understand. It's just that we don't get the details. We never get the details of everything until way after the fact. Yep. So trying to predict based on, you know, the small amount of details we do get will lead you to, you know, miscalculate and misassume. And in this case, rather significantly.
Yeah.
So anyway.
All right.
Moving. All right. Oh, go ahead.
Whoa, moving on up to the Vikings. Roll on through the division here, big guy. We got the Vicky Dicky Dickings.
Yep. Moving on up to the Vikings. There isn't a ton of news. When you look at the Vikings last year and you look at their major problem, and I know we've talked about this already, it was what? It was their offensive line.
They suck? Oh, something else, sorry.
They have a good defense. Yeah. They have good skill position players. Although I will say, like, I'm not like overly convinced they have a good running back room at the moment, but they could fix that in the draft. But the offensive line is terrible. And was terrible and has not gotten better. Not only did they, you know, cut my Remmers, which I'm not saying that might be addition by subtraction kind of situation. Mm-hmm. But there's not a clear, you know, successor there. They get Pat Elflein back from injury, although he only missed a few games last year. He was not good last year. Mm-hmm. They lost Nick Easton, who was maybe their best backup offensive line to the Saints. And they have yet to address it at all in free agency. And they really don't have very much room to go after. It wasn't a good year to go after offensive linemen in free agency. They really just haven't done anything. So unless they plan to spend like 6 picks on offensive linemen and hope that things fall into place in year one for those guys, that's going to be a problem next year. That's going to be a big problem for them again next year, because Kirk Cousins showed he's not the guy you want behind a weak offensive line.
Interesting. Yeah.
All right. So that's the Vikings. We will move on to the Bears. There's still not a ton of news since last we spoke. They hemorrhaged a lot of talent. They did pick up a couple guys. They did pick up Clinton Dix, the former Packer, who's I liked in free agency last year for the Lions as a potential long-term replacement for Glover Quinn. Didn't necessarily love. He went to the Redskins and had a meh year. He is still theoretically a downgrade, from Adrian Amos, who went to the Packers. And one of the major things that Adrian Amos gave to that defense wasn't necessarily his own playing ability, but that he helped Eddie Jackson a lot become one of the best looking safeties in the league. Although I did see something today about Eddie Jackson having a very bad tackle rating, but he's still a guy who makes plays all over the field and is kind of the freewheeling goes anywhere because he can kind of safety. Losing Adrian Amos, it could potentially mean that he has to stick more specifically to a certain role, which could cut into his productiveness. And that's just the question about whether or not Clinton Dix can play up to the level that Adrian Amos played. And to me, that's partly a question of how well the Bears front seven plays and how well they stay healthy. Because I think, you know, if they play as well as they played last year, Clinton Dix should be able to do most of what Adrian Amos did. Although I will say, I think Adrian Amos was a much better box safety than I think Clinton Dix is. But sure, we'll see how that plays out.
Sure.
So that's the big news as far as the Bears this week in terms of trying to fill that. They've still got plenty of holes, and they still don't have very much money to do it. So they're still going to be, you know, they're going to come out again of free agency in the draft looking like a weaker roster than they had last year.
Excellent. All right, can I hit you with some breaking news? Yeah. As we record this right now, we have an offer sheet out to Malcolm Brown from the Rams. They get a chance to match, but there is your RB2, right?
Yeah, I mean, that would mostly solve that situation. I think you'd still be looking at whether or not you pick up a guy mid to late round in the draft to add to that competition and to add to that room. But I mean, I certainly wouldn't be upset by that.
Yep. As we record, we're still reporting the news. We should just do this all live, Case. We really should.
Do you really want people to know how much we screw up?
You always talk about what could be, but you never actually do it, right? That's the key. That's the secret, my friend. All right. Let's move on. Let's how about we talk to a real pro? You feel like doing that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's bring him in.
Time for a different kind of breakdown with today's special guest.
All right, and what a guest it is. We have Tony Ortiz. He is the Detroit Lions Radio Network sideline reporter. You hear him all the time on the radio with Dan and Lomas. You used to see him in the preseason on TV, but the cameras didn't like that. He's also the ruler of the sports desk for 97.1 The Ticket and WWJ in the mornings. He rules the Lions beat for radio. This is Tony Ortiz. Tony, thank you so much for joining us, dude. I can't believe we waited this long or our wires are crossed for this long that we couldn't get you on the show.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long time, and I'm a fan of the podcast, so thank you guys for having me on. And you know what? I've been looking forward to this, so you know what? I'm happy to be here.
So we got one more plus my mom, Case. We're off. We got two fans now.
Hey, I told you, my new girlfriend's listening too.
Okay.
Woo, all right. Triple. So we wanted to chat with you, get some perspective from another guy in the Detroit media. Looking at some of the things we've done this off season. So I don't know, maybe we just makes sense to start with the biggest name that we brought in and get your perspective on it a little. How do you feel about the Trey Flowers signing?
I like the Trey Flowers signing because the Lions needed somebody who can pressure the quarterback. And look, they thought they had it last year with Ziggy Ansah. Yeah. They gave him the one-year franchise tender, and it just didn't work out because he couldn't stay healthy, which has been a problem for a long time with Ziggy Ansah. Yeah. But I think Trey Flowers is a guy who can stay healthy, but he's also a guy who's familiar with Matt Patricia's defense. So his time to catch up with the rest of the defense won't take long, and I think he's a guy who can make an immediate impact for the Lions, who, again, are still probably going to look for yet another pass rusher out there in free agency or in the draft because they need another one.
Yeah. What do you think? There's been a knock on him a little bit about getting a lot of pressures, but the number of sacks have been lower. Any thoughts? Where's your head at on that?
You know what? I'm okay with that because sacks aren't the be-all, end-all stat. I mean, I know a lot of fans like to hook up with stats and say, okay, this is what you want to see, a double-digit sack guy. But if he can get the pressure on the quarterback, make him uncomfortable, maybe somebody else cleans up with a sack. So I'm okay. If he can pressure the quarterback, he doesn't have to have big sack numbers, just as long as he can help the team get some pressure on the quarterback, make the quarterback shuffle his feet, get out of the pocket, get uncomfortable. I'm pretty much okay with that.
I'm in complete agreement with that. I always actually look at the pressures as a much more significant stat than the sacks total. The QB hits too. That's, you know, those are important things.
And pressure was a huge problem last year, right? It felt like every quarterback had a fortress wall around him and we weren't able to get through. Once you get him moving, that pressure that creates all kinds of sacks that maybe otherwise wouldn't have been there.
Oh, I agree. And here's the thing. Before he left, the guy who was the master of pressuring the quarterback without maybe getting a whole lot of sacks was Ndamukong Suh. And he had a pretty good impact on the Lions' defensive line. So, again, I love guys who can get the pressure. It may not pay off in sacks, but give me some pressure on the quarterback.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we were talking about that a little bit last week, how guys like Suh didn't maybe get the credit or the numbers and some of the credit for some of the havoc they were wreaking.
Okay, so the next guy, and we give kind of a big contract here, and I know that makes people a little nervous, especially when it's a guy that not everybody knows as well as Trey Flowers, and that's Justin Coleman, who, coming from Seattle, but previously the Patriots, working with Patricia there, has played mostly in the slot. And I think the major question right now is whether or not he's going to play slot in Detroit or whether or not they have him pegged on the outside.
He's going to play slot in Detroit, and here's why. I think the problem here is people look at that, see nickel cornerback or slot cornerback, and think, okay, he's only going to be out there on passing downs. I've got a feeling that Matt Patricia is going to roll out a 4-2-5 defense, two linebackers with five defensive backs, and I think Justin Coleman is going to play almost starter minutes out there on the field because of the way Patricia is going to roll out that defense. So don't think of him as a nickel. Don't think of him as a slot. Think of him as another linebacker or another secondary guy out there who's a starter. And I think the numbers that he got from the Lions, the money he got, looks a lot more reasonable.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. There's a lot of people talking about that need for a CB2. And is Tease the guy? Is Ford the guy? With that 4-2-5, what do you think? Are they the guys? Are we going to pick somebody up? We can talk about the draft. I liked Greedy for a long time, but a lot of people have turned me off. And the more tape I look at about his lack of desire to tackle, kind of puts me in. We're going to wind up in a tough place at that second corner.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I don't think Greedy Williams is going to be the pick, even if he is there at number 8 for the Lions. But I will say this much. They have to get another cornerback because they released Nevin Lawson. And look, I thought Nevin Lawson was good, but I thought they needed to upgrade alongside Darius Slay. Now they have a chance to go out in free agency and pick up another cornerback. I don't think they're going to draft one, guys. I think they're going to pick somebody up in free agency. There's also the possibility that they might shift Quandre Diggs back there, but then you've got the hole at safety, and I know we're going to talk about that in a moment, but Quandre Diggs, I guess, would be the X factor in this. Does he go back to corner? Does he stay at safety? Can they pick somebody up in free agency who can take over for Nevin Lawson? I'm very curious to see where they go with this going forward when the secondary wave of free agency begins.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I've always been a fan of bringing in vet cornerbacks to try to fill in like a CB2 role or a slot role. There's a name, and I'm going to pitch you against one of the other Detroit media guys here for a sec. Tim Twentyman listed Morris Claiborne as a solid possibility. Do you have any feelings on that?
you know what, I like Morris Claiborne. I'm not sure he's a perfect fit for the Matt Patricia defense, but I do like Morris Claiborne. So I can't disagree with Tim, even though I'm bigger than Tim. I can't disagree with Tim on this one. And I think he's right on that. I think Morris Claiborne would be a nice addition. Again, I'm not sure he's 100% perfect fit for the defense, but he is definitely an upgraded cornerback.
Definitely. And I'm taking Tony in the Tony versus Tim challenge, just so you know.
You know what? Tim runs faster than I do. And you know what? He's lost a little bit of weight. So Tim might actually hold his own in this one, you know?
Nah, he better run faster. That's all I'm saying. I always liked Mo Claiborne. He was a guy that, I don't know, I felt fit in the Lions when he got drafted. And even though he may not be a perfect fit for Patricia's defense, he is definitely an upgrade at that cornerback position over what we've got. So it's still a step in the right direction.
I agree. As long as you can upgrade, that's the key for Matt Patricia. That's the key for the Lions, because you just have to get better. There were certain areas, and I don't have to point it out for you guys. You guys know from watching last year, there were certain areas on the field. There were certain players who stepped out there on the field. The moment they did, you thought, well, this is going to be really, really ugly. Now they get a chance to upgrade, and some of that ugliness will go away. We won't point out any names, but I won't tease you with that.
Yeah. Good job at not pointing them out. See, this is Tony's not joking. He's definitely a podcast guy. He's sitting here no pants with us, and he's right there teasing out the right names. Let's talk about Jesse James, who's got one of the cooler names in the league, right? Tight end, this guy has a lot of upside. He seems to be a really, really good fit in the scheme of this offense. What do you think of how he fits and what he could bring?
I agree with you. I think he is going to be a good fit. And look, Daryl Bevel, the new offensive coordinator, did a really nice job with tight ends when he was in Seattle and in Minnesota, utilizing them in his offense. And I think Jesse James is the guy who fits. And of the three big names that they signed in free agency, this was the guy where I saw it. I was like, okay, I'm excited about Jesse James. Flowers is good. Coleman is good. James is the guy that really got me excited, because he's going to make an immediate impact with this team. He is going to produce. And believe me, again, you saw last year, tight end was a giant black hole for the Lions. Yeah. No offense to Luke Wilson or Levine Toilolo or whoever they rolled out there, Michael Roberts. They needed somebody at tight end to help that offensive production. And I think Jesse James is that guy.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I've been talking the last couple of weeks about how much I like him. I liked what he had to say in terms of his departure from the Steelers, and mm-hmm. He wasn't overly negative towards the Steelers franchise, which, you know, obviously I think maybe he could have gotten away with doing if he wanted to at this moment in time. But just along the lines of saying that he didn't feel like he was a focal point of the offense, but that he felt that he should get an opportunity to do that, and that he feels like that he'll get that opportunity in Detroit. I may be paraphrasing / you know, adding context a little willy-nilly there, but the idea just being that he didn't feel that that he was a major focus of what they were doing there. And despite that, still put up pretty solid production.
And you know what? He'll be more of a focus in the Lions offense. Now, let me say this right off the bat. He is not going to be Matthew Stafford's number one target. You know, that Kenny Golladay guy will probably be the target number one for Matthew Stafford. But every quarterback needs a security blanket. In Dallas, it's now Jason Witten. Thank God he's not on Monday Night Football anymore. That's a whole other story.
He's definitely a better tight end.
Every quarterback, yeah, pretty much, yeah. And you know what? It helped. He's gone, and they got rid of the Booger Mobile. Things can only get better for Monday Night Football from there. But James is the security blanket that Matthew Stafford has not had for a little while. And I think that's important for him to have, because there were times, Minnesota, where Stafford was just buffaloed by opposing defenses, and you could just see him looking for somebody to help him out, and the help just wasn't there. Jesse James is that guy. Think Kyle Rudolph in Minnesota, and I think that's the role I think Jesse James could ultimately play here.
Oh, God, we were drooling over the possibility of Kyle Rudolph coming. Case a little more than I was, but he quickly got me on the train. We
I was just hoping they'd cut him, and we'd have a shot at him. But.
Yeah, absolutely. All
right. You know what? Kyle Rudolph plays his best football in December, which, if you think about it, makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it does.
Rudolph,
Oh, Christmas? Oh, wow. All right. Took me a second.
I've got a little bit of red nose from the Jaeger bomb I'm drinking. Sorry about that.
Up in here.
All right. It's good. I love the play, though, the play on words. Let me go to somebody else. And this is another kind of outlet guy that's going to help Stafford. Because this, face it, last year, contested catches were a big thing. Marvin Jones, great at contested catches, but let's talk, you know, you can look at separation and say he better be good at contested catches or he's not playing in the NFL likely. But we want to give some gaps. We want to create some matchups that give guys catches and clear guys out. A guy like Danny Amendola with Jesse James give a little bit of an outlet to Matthew Stafford that maybe he didn't have, especially and particularly after we lost Golden Tate. What do you think of this signing?
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. This is the guy who is the Golden Tate replacement. And just like Jesse James, he becomes that security blanket for Matthew Stafford. And guys, once Golden Tate left, once he was traded to Philadelphia, those slot receptions all but disappeared from the Lions offense. So suddenly Matthew Stafford didn't have a tight end he could count on consistently, didn't have a slot receiver he could count on consistently. So he was limited to whatever back was out there and the two wide receivers. And once Marvin Jones went down, that got even worse and tighter for Matthew Stafford. So, again, anything you can add will help. And Danny Amendola, again, a guy who can slide in, knows what's going on, is a veteran, understands playing for Matt Patricia. It's a good move. I liked all the moves that the Lions made in free agency, but let's pump the brakes here a little bit. There's still some holes they still have to fill.
Absolutely. Real quick before we move on to some of those holes, Danny Amendola is a little bit older, and while he has, you know, obviously has an extensive career of big plays in the playoffs, his you know, regular season production isn't massive. Do you think that that's still a sign that they're likely to go to find, you know, the long-term solution to that in the draft or yet in free agency, if there's anybody even available?
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. The Lions signed this week Tommy Lee Lewis, the former New Orleans Saints wide receiver. So that kind of tells you right there, they're still looking for wide receivers. I think they're going to take one in the draft. But the other thing Amendola provides is stability and veteran leadership. And he's a guy who's worked with Patricia, who's played for Patricia, or at least on the same team with Patricia in New England before. So I think he's a guy who comes into the locker room and says, hey, look, guys, this is what he's looking for. This is what Matt wants you to do. And I think that helps out too, because there were moments last year in the locker room where you kind of got the impression that they needed somebody outside of Ricky Jean-Francois, who was a major Matt Patricia booster, to come in and say, hey, look, be patient. This is what's going to work out. This is what Matt Patricia wants to do. And I think Danny Amendola will fill that role quite nicely.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to move on. This guy was not necessarily a free agent, although he was available. There was a signing, and I mean, we go way back when he was signed as a UDFA. We can look back to probably one of the most famous sayings in our show.
I love Zach Zenner.
And we got Zach Zenner back. He has signed. Case, I mean, he's swooning over there. I can see the hearts like popping around his head. It's not even an Instagram filter, right? We got Zach Zenner back. Here's a guy, and this is something that we talk about. I don't trust him as a running back number two or a running back number one, but I feel like I should, because every opportunity he's had, he's seized, and he seems to have delivered. And I'm a guy who really believes that guys that do that deserve the opportunity to play to that next level. And I don't know why, for someone who we love so much, I don't let my heart overcome my brain on this one. We got Zach Zenner back. Is he better than we think? We keep talking him down. Is he better than we think? Is he capable of that RB2, or do we kind of need to bring somebody in here?
God, I hate to break you guys' hearts. I really do. You've been so nice to me. But Zach Zenner is not RB2. I'm sorry. I think the Lions will go out there and they will look for another RB2, because I don't think LeGarrette Blount's coming back. I think the tread's off that tire, and I think they definitely want to get a second back to platoon with Kerryon Johnson. So I like Zach Zenner. I think ultimately he feels
you love
Danny
him, Tony.
Woodhead.
You love him, Tony.
No, I like him. No, I like him. I like him as a player. I really like him off the field. I like him as a player. He's a good guy. I've talked to him a number of times. He's a really good guy. But I think he's Danny Whitehead for this team. I think he's the guy who's going to come in and fill the occasional running back slot, give you a little bit of production as the RB3, but I'm sorry. I can't see him as the RB2 with this team. I really can't. I think the Lions want somebody who is just a little more, can deliver a little bit more. Let me put it that way. Because the other way I was going to say it would have sounded really bad, and I'm not trying to down Zach Zenner, believe me.
Well, we're gonna change topic before somebody says something they regret. maybe the last significant signing that we've had, and we didn't have a chance to talk about this on the show last week because it happened almost during the time we were recording. But that's Odey, and I'm going to butcher this, but Abushi?
Go ahead. Yes.
Did he get it?
Was that even close?
Yes. You got it.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Now you've got a good difference because one of our trademarks is to mispronounce, and we mispronounce our own names actually. But
okay. So point being, do you think that's a guy that they're bringing in to compete with Wiggins and Crosby for a starting position, or do you think that's just purely depth?
No, I think you're right. I think he's there to challenge for a starting position. Does he get it? Who knows? It's going to be one of those things that will be determined in training camp and during the preseason, but he's definitely in there to challenge for a role. Let me give you guys a potential fly in the ointment on this one. Ooh. So bear with me.
Yeah.
What if TJ Lang took a real significant pay cut and the Lions re-signed him?
I mean, you think that's still a possibility?
I think it's a possibility. I don't know if it's a great possibility, but I think it's a possibility. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. TJ Lang really wants to come back and play again in the NFL. And I think if the price is right, he could come back with the Lions. That being said, the problem is I don't know if you can, at this point in his career, think he can stay healthy for 16 games.
Yeah.
Wow, Tony. So hold on, because you're not wrong by it. You just kind of like re-rolled the dice on the calculus of the whole thing, right? Because we talked about the idea of him taking a big pay cut and coming back. But when they cut him, and boy, when he went away, there was a little bit of ceremony there. It wasn't like your typical, I'm leaving kind of, it was a little bit more and it was a little bit coordinated with the team. Oh, so we thought it would happen immediately. Here's the cut, take it and go, right? But boy, He loves the team. He said, look for him. And we thought maybe there may be a coaching role, like he could start his post-player career. The thing about TJ, though, is the number of concussions he's had. And we've talked about how worried we are about him and his life after football. And that's what we thought. Coaching was a perfect way for him to go. But a low snap count kind of role, as well as kind of a player coach. Wow. That's completely scrambled my eggs, buddy.
It could be a possibility. Now, again, I'm just throwing that out there because, as you said, it didn't feel final, did it? With the release and with all of the words and the comments, it just didn't feel like that this was final, that maybe he was going away and fading off into the sunset. Right. There was that feeling that, okay, if things work out, maybe he could come back. I'd like to see TJ come back. I'm a fan of TJ Lang, but you're right about the health. That's the major concern at this point.
This Tony guy has his shit together, Case. that was a good one. You activated my almonds 100% on that. That's a really, really good one. Thanks for that, Tony.
Okay.
Again,
so,
I'm throwing that out there. It may not happen. I'm just throwing that out there.
So the Lions, the way they structured some contracts, and this, you know, this wasn't information we knew right away off the bat, but things that have leaked out sort of over the last week in terms of how things are maybe a little bit more backloaded than we expected, and they're left over with more cap space sitting there. Do you see any other large moves? Do you see that as a very likely thing here in maybe a second round of free agency starting whenever that ends up starting?
And let me add to that really quick, Tony, because there's the whole concept of rollover. And you look at the guys we signed this year, there's a lot of money starting to come out next year in the cap. And we've hired a new capologist to help out with the team. Is this something that maybe we want to roll over cap this year because we feel like we've got a decent team and that's going to help out next year? Just to add another layer of variable to that question.
And you know what? That's a good variable to add because, that is a definite possibility. And again, they have to keep in mind they're building for this year, but they've also got to look ahead a little bit towards the future. Based on the numbers that Justin Rogers from the Detroit News came out with recently. They've got about $26 to $27 million left under the cap. You probably should allocate about $12 to $15 million for rookies and things like that. So the Lions do have a little bit of significant money they can spend when the second wave of free agency kicks in. And I think that happens usually after the draft. Once the teams look at what they've got in the draft and once they see what they still need, that's when the second wave of free agency will hit. And I think sure. the Lions probably will take a look at a safety. If I'm the Lions, I probably try to sign a safety before the draft, but I can also see them waiting till after the draft to see who might be a June 1st cap casualty as well.
Yeah, no, no, that makes perfect sense. I love the way you think about it over time, because so many times, I mean, I try to expand things and think about how the lining these things up over time happens, and often I'm kind of like helping people along with that one. And you've, like I said, you've brought the whole timeline into focus. And when do you do the right thing? It's great. Let me ask you about the last guy on our list here, Andrew Adams, safety. We pulled him in from the Bucks, I guess. Over mm-hmm. to the Lions in my backyard here. what do we think? Is this guy a starter? Is he camp body? What are we going to do with him in this? And we talked a little bit about what's going to happen at safety. What's your thoughts here?
I've got him penciled in at this point as the guy who's going to take over for Glover Quinn. And I know the team really likes Tracy Walker a lot, and I know they would like to see him ultimately grow into that role, but I think at that position, which is so critical for Matt Patricia's defense, I think this is the guy, Andrew Adams, that you pencil in and say he's the guy going into training camp that will probably start at that position that Glover Quinn manned. Now, he could lose the job in training camp. He could lose the job in the preseason because he's going to have a number of challengers, but I think that guy is going to be the starter at that safety position. Just look at his numbers with especially with Tampa Bay, he's a guy who seems to be improving on his game each and every year. And I think he's the type of player Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia have targeted, a guy whose career seems to be ascending at just the right time. Yeah. And he's young enough, 26, to make an impact on the Lions defense.
All right. So
yeah, I'll admit I have not given him enough time. So what you just said, and I guess, you know, I had seen the numbers, 9 pass defended, 4 interceptions last year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe I don't know why I kind of relegated him to you know, third tier status here, but yeah, I will definitely be paying a lot more attention to what he's doing. Thanks to what you just said here.
Let me just add a little to this. So Tony, and you know, no one's actually said the words and I haven't thought of the words, the Glover Quinn replacement, which is, it's mm-hmm. it's kind of shocking, right? I knew Glover was going, but I love, you know, we love him. He was such a great guy for the community, a great guy for the team. Just absolutely fabulous. The only thing he could have done is maybe if he'd opened the Nothing But Cakes instead of Marvin Jones, maybe he would be just like, they would make statues of him in Detroit, right? But whatever. So we're thinking about this 4-2-5 setup. Mm-hmm. What you're just talking about is actually makes Andrew Adams a really good fit, doesn't he?
Yeah, it does. And the thing about Glover Quinn was, he's a good player. I think he's a very good player. He was a good player in the defense when it was run by Terrell Austin, when Jim Caldwell was head coach. But I also think that Glover Quinn was a guy who probably had the hardest time adjusting from Jim Caldwell as head coach to Matt Patricia as head coach. Those are a couple of guys who have completely different styles. And plus the fact is, I think Glover looked at his age and his time and said, you know what? I've spent enough time away from my family. I want to get a chance to spend more time with my family. I liked Glover a lot as a person. I liked him as a player, and I'm glad I got a chance to interview him, glad I got a chance to know him. But I think that his time probably, this is the right time for him to have gotten out. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I completely agree. And he's probably one of my favorite Lions of all time, like low key, but you're absolutely right. I mean, if he wasn't going to be able to make that transition at, you know, the age that he was at and try to do things completely different way, it definitely makes sense. Okay. So we don't want to keep you forever here. We do probably have just one more topic here that
I kind of
want to
replace you, Case. He's doing a really good job.
We'll bring him back again. We'll get him back again.
Case is like, what do you mean you replace me?
I'm going to take some weeks
off. Now I'm not replacing anybody today. You know, no. No. <All right. laughs>
So, okay. So we always, you know, say early on in the off season, you know, we can't really make too strong of predictions about the draft until we see what the opening mm-hmm. round of free agency brings. And then, you know, as you say, we can't really make too strong of predictions about what the second half of free agency will bring after the draft. So that leaves us with the draft. Do you have some major thoughts on where you think they might go in the first couple rounds?
Yeah, I still think they try to grab a pass rusher with the number 8 pick. But I will say this much, and I know Lions fans are not going to want to hear this next sentence, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it.
I'm already braced for it. I know what's coming.
All right. There is still a possibility that the Lions could take T.J. Hockenson with the number 8 overall pick, even though they did pick up Jesse James in free agency. Tight end is still a question mark for this team. So no position is out of bounds for the Lions to take at number 8. Now, between all of us, I don't think they're going to take a quarterback at 8. I really don't. But if you're Bob Quinn, you did the right thing at the combine by interviewing Kyler Murray, by interviewing Dwayne Haskins, and by telling reporters, nothing's out of bounds. Yeah. We will look at every position. And it's smart, because if one of those guys is still hanging out and you get the 8 and some team thinks you might consider doing it, who knows? You might get a trade. You pick up some extra draft picks. Helps build your team.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Now let me. This is something I've got this locked in my head. You know how you get this, the kind of, you lose all your situational awareness. You get this focus on. I'm all about Irv Smith in the second. He may not even be there, right? But I really, really like him as a choice in the second. And I think you're right. We need a second tight end besides Jesse James. We don't have it with who we have right now. If it isn't Hockenson, though, where are you looking? Where are you looking in that first round? If it isn't, I'm scared about the, after Ebron, right? The whole first round is just it's like a hot potato.
Yeah, if they take a tight end at number 8, it, to use the line from the old Simpsons movie from Homer, wow, they got pitchforks and torches up real fast, didn't they? I can see Lions fans losing their collective minds if it's a tight end at number 8. I like Irv Smith, I really do. And you know what's funny? He comes from Alabama. And the one thing about that is Bob Quinn loves guys who have played for big-name programs and for big-name coaches. You look at his drafts the last couple of years, you see a lot of guys from big name school, from the Big Ten, from the SEC, they litter the draft picks. And again, he played for Nick Saban. There is no coach in college football right now who's gotten more guys pro ready than Nick Saban. Urban Meyer might be close second, but believe me, if you want a guy who can step in and be ready, you play for Nick Saban at Alabama.
Let me ask you about that, because I'm kind of thinking second level. You want a guy from a big name program, a big name coach. Is it because those guys have given themselves to the system? They trust the coaches. They trust the system. You think that's where you kind of have that? You know, you're going to get some buy-in out of them out of the box, or is there something else besides, oh, we're just winners and that's that?
No, you get something out of them right out of the box. And here's the other thing too. If you play for a guy like a Nick Saban, if you play for a guy like an Urban Meyer or Jim Harbaugh, anybody like that, what happens is these guys have been in the NFL, or at least have had some experience coaching in the NFL or working with NFL coaches, so they know what it takes to get a guy ready to play at the next level. So there's little maintenance with those guys getting them ready for a career in the NFL. And I think that ultimately is why you get guys who get drafted from those schools pretty quickly, because the people in the NFL know it's low maintenance. It's plug and play for the most part with those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I completely agree. Okay. We'll ask you a couple quick more questions, but the first one being, if you get to choose for the Lions who they pick round 1 among, you know, the guys who are likely to be available, or who, you know, there's a high probability will be available, who do you take?
You know what? I like Cleveland Farrell out of Clemson. I like his ability to rush the passer, but I also like his ability, and we saw this a lot at Clemson, to stop the run. He's a guy who you put out there and he can play all 3 downs. He can play passing downs, running downs, whatever. First, second, third down, he is out there. So I like Cleveland Farrell. The only slight problem is he had a toe issue that prevented him from taking part in pro day. And I just don't know how much that might affect his draft status in the end. But if he's healthy, I like Cleveland Farrell. Two guys, by the way, guys, I would stay away from, because I think they're workout warriors. Montez Sweat, out of Mississippi State and Ed Oliver out of Houston. Wow. Those guys were put up phenomenal numbers at the combine. They were, you know, well talked about, but I just don't know if those guys will succeed in the NFL.
Wow. Well,
let me rephrase that. I don't know if they're going to make the impact teams feel they will in the NFL.
Right.
Again,
at the draft
my opinion.
Position. Yeah, no. This is, you just buried me in like questions. Montez Sweat, I saw him at the Senior Bowl, and he looked, mm-hmm. he had he would just stab people, and they would like, it was like he had a real knife in his hand. they just froze and dropped. He was incredible. He looked really, really good out there. So it's interesting, because the level of competition at the Senior Bowl is high, but it's still college mm-hmm. players, right? You're not talking all NFL talent there. So interesting to hear that about Montez. Let me ask you about Cleveland Farrell though. You talked about him as a pick, and one of the things that I thought was a knock was he wasn't super. He didn't bring anything that was like over the top to the team, but he was mm-hmm. a day one starter. I sit here and think about it, and I say, well, we got Trey Flowers too, and maybe that changes my thinking on him. Maybe all of a sudden the pressure that he generates, and again, as you said, he does well against the run, he does well against the pass, he's a three down guy. All of a sudden, you put yourself, you know, you got Snacks out there at the right time, you got Trey out there at the right time. This may give you the right kind of balance across the line. This may, just the makeup of the line itself may actually, and I have to think about this now, Tony, you've done it again, but this may give him a little bit of extra status for a team like the Lions. And for me, at least if I'm picking out the team, where he would fit on this team and really kind of maybe elevates his value.
And here's another thing he does. He also takes a little bit of pressure off Romeo Okwara to produce the similar type of numbers he produced last year. And, you know, I like Romeo Okwara, but he's got to prove to me that he can do it again this year, what he did last year. Bringing in a guy like Cleveland Farrell now gives you three solid pass-rushing defensive ends that you can rotate in and out. And, again, platooning is very important now in the NFL, and especially with a guy like Matt Patricia, who loves to roll out different guys for different matchups and different sets. So the more weapons you can roll out there, the better off you can match up defensively with other teams.
This is good stuff. Wow. So last thing I have to talk about, Tony, is the support you gave us on Twitter about the St. Jude piece we're doing for the charity drive. Thank you so much for supporting out there. And you know, you get a lot of people introduced to us as a result of that. And we really, really appreciate it. For those who haven't heard, we're doing an auction very shortly. We're going to have the mm-hmm. Lions have donated an autographed ball. We have a pot. 99.9% sure we're going to have a game used Super Bowl ball available for the auction. Some other things available as well. 100% going to St. Jude from everything we raised from that online auction. But Tony, you were really, really helpful, and when we kicked that off and getting some word out there, we really appreciate all the help you did. And you know, that's not why we had you on the show. We've been talking for a while. Has it been? I mean, I know you're sitting there pants free talking to a couple of guys, but is it something you do again? I mean, it didn't hurt, right?
No, this was fun. I had a blast. And listen, I was glad to play a small part. And believe me, I played a small part. There were two guys who really did carry the mail for you guys, and they were the Steely Dans, as it were, Dan Orlovsky and Dan Miller. Yeah. They did a really good job of getting the signal out and getting it out as well. So those guys deserve much more credit than I do.
Everybody's a help, and every dollar helps. We're going through draft day. We're going to announce the auction winners on the draft day. Thank you, everybody. Tony, dude, it was so great to have you on. We're going to have you back every day we can have you back. You're awesome, man. Thanks so much.
Guys, now that I have your number, I can call you anytime. So be ready for a call at like 2 or 3 in the morning when I wake up. You know, it's like, hey guys, I just wanted to call and make sure the number worked. Ah!
We didn't say that. Awesome. Thank you, Tony. You are the bomb, dude. You are so great.
Hey guys, anytime, and I'm a big fan, so keep up the good work, and I will talk to you guys soon.
Remember, this show needs your involvement. Use the comments and subreddit to give us your feedback. That's why we're number one, because of you. We'll take that feedback and we'll keep evolving the show to something special, something you guys like and tell your friends about. Don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, for the next 2 months, all that money goes straight to St. Jude. Give heartily and give as much as you can. Let's help those kids. All right. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, or where we're the most active. I mean, we are like a virus, like a parasite sucking the blood off of anyone that comes out on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast, the very best place to see Case.
Getting lucky.
Ooh, baby. Give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. That's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Or call us on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. 929-335-4667. And also, go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Subscribe. Subscribe to that podcast so we can come in your box automatically. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, baby, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.